Hi, this is Eric Castle with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and this is the Harvest Module, and this is part three. And I tell you, the more I get into this, I feel my spirit increasing. That's my prayer for you, that as you listen to these accounts of harvest, that there's going to be a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost increasing you. You have the DNA of harvest in you. You are a son and daughter of the living God, and everything about God is about the harvest of the nations. That's what we're about. We're the sons and daughters manifesting in the last days. And I tell you, as we get into this, you're going to realize that the world out there isn't hard. It is ready for a move of God's Spirit where the power of God breaks through the atmosphere and people begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for this. I pray for my friends. Increase our spirits right now, that there's a greater capacity to hear, to understand, and to go the distance. Father, we worship and love you in Jesus' name. We receive it. Amen. Now, let's look at, this is number 14. And I want you to think about it. A great number, not a small number, a great number. I don't know what that means. Great, it means big. Let's look at Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Isn't that wonderful? The hand of the Lord was with them. You know, when you think about the hand of the Lord, it means supernatural. That somehow God was moving supernaturally, usually with healings and miracles. And that's what I'm going to lean towards, that the gifts of healings, working of miracles, were in operation. The hand of the Lord was with them. And what? A great number also, having believed, they turned. Now, that's very important. The wordiology is wonderful. They turned. It wasn't a believing with the mind. It was a believing that came deep out of their heart, and they turned. So here we have the hand of the Lord, the power of God upon the church as they went forward. And in that power of God, people believed the gospel and they turned. Oh, I love it. Number 15, a great multitude was added. There's the word great again. You know, I think everything about the church is defined in the word great. Great grace, great mercy, great power, and a great multitude. Let's look at Acts 11:24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Many people were added unto the Lord. Now, here we see when a good man comes into a church, And with this, the spiritual propensity that he carried added to the local congregation. And the result of that was an increase, people being added to the church. Why? Because the corporate anointing was increasing. Now, if you're a leader of a church and you're afraid of strong people coming in, that's not going to happen. Actually, you'll end up putting a wall, and that great grace is going to be frustrated. We're commanded not to frustrate that grace. So here he comes, and it's Barnabas, and he gets added into the church, and the anointing that he carried added into that congregation, and in that flow of grace, people were added. The Lord is the one who adds to the church. Now, let's go to number 16. A great grew and multiplied. Verse 24, Acts 12:24, and this is the 16th example. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, that's a funny statement, because you think it's the word that's growing and multiplying. Well, actually, because the word of God was increasing in how it was being preached and people preaching it, it multiplied, meaning more people were coming in and they were carriers of the Word of God. And that's what the church has to be. Every member has to be a carrier of the Word of God. And when you preach to the church, and during the time that we live in right now, there's a shaking going on in the church. People that really aren't committed are finding out that they are, what, falling away right now. So that those who are committed, they're front and center. And guess what? They're going to have to be carriers, every one of them, of the Word of God. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The power of God is going to fall. God is not going to be outdone in this day and age. But you know what he's doing? He's getting the embers, the hot embers, and he's bringing them together. It looks small. But you know what? When he pours the kerosene on it, it's going to explode. We're living in exciting days. So it multiplied. It could be said that the work of miracles through the angel, Acts chapter 12, when the angel comes down, right, and strikes Herod, there's a judgment. And everybody kind of went, ooh. You know, here's Herod sitting on his throne, and all of a sudden he just opens up because in the spirit there's a sword. That angel had a sword. Remember, we're on the winning side. Don't be afraid of persecution because we serve a team that has angels with swords, okay? I know sometimes we suffer, but you know what? If we don't back down, sometimes we see tremendous breakthrough. And when Herod was judged, something hit the land and all of a sudden something turned in the spirit. And guess what? The word of the Lord began to grow. It was multiplied. People began to be added to the church. These little spurts of persecution and what the devil throws at the church, sometimes it looks bad, it looks vicious, but guess what? The Spirit of God will turn it, and it will become, if the church doesn't back down, if the leaders don't back down, then you're going to see a season of growth, okay? Now, let's look at number 17, the deputy Sergius Paulus. It's a person. It's an individual. Acts 13:12. And let me say, before we read this, we are now moving out of the land of Israel. Jesus said to the ends of the earth. Well, when we start getting to Acts 13, we're not functioning as to what God is doing in the land of Israel now. No, we're now outside of Israel, and we're seeing that the gospel has power outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, outside of Samaria. It has power to the ends of the earth. That means right now, wherever you're watching this from, and we have friends all over the world that watch these on YouTube or somewhere, you have power right now. You have the same power of God that was functioning in Jerusalem. It's right there with you now through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, in this example, there was a witch. He had been kind of working in, getting close to the deputy, controlling him through witchcraft. But when the gospel came and the power of God came, then all of a sudden, this deputy, his heart wanted God. He just didn't know God. He was being subverted by this witch. And that's happening all over the planet. If you could see how much is happening with people in government power, where people with witchcraft are coming in to manipulate them so that demonic powers have control over the land, that's why we're commanded to pray for our leaders. Did you know that? So that's why your church, that's why your pastor is fervently pleading with you to pray for those in government, because the devil is always sending bad people to try to work their way in and to influence. If it's not through witchcraft, it's through sexual sin, okay? That's why we're commanded to pray for those in authority, because the devil, he's always working to subvert them, to bring them under his power. If the church will pray, the power of God will be released, and it will begin to build a protection around these men and women, so that in that exousia authority that God gives, they're able to hear from God and to, what, govern wisely. So this deputy, he was being subverted. The power of God comes, the hand of the Lord falls upon the witch, and he watches the doctrine of the Lord. And guess what he does? He gives his life to Christ. It's an individual salvation. It's powerful. Let's go to the next one. Many Jews and religious proselytes. Acts 13:43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews, and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, it was Paul's preaching that was convincing many to follow Christ. Now, we've been talking about the gifts of healings and the working of miracles, and we need those. But actually, those don't save people. It's the preaching of the gospel, words being spoken under the power of the Holy Ghost, that change what's in people's hearts. Miracles and healings, they have their place. But it's Paul, his preaching of the gospel. He was using words to convince and persuade men to serve the Lord. We must remember that. We must never back away from the strong preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to number 19, many. Don't you love these words? Many, multitude, great. The book of Acts is a wonderful book. Let's go to Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now that's a funny scripture. And I believe that God is not willing that any perish. But it also says, but as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. So we see a part of the sovereignty of the working of God in the harvest. He's not willing that any perish, but also, guess what? As many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Whew, we gotta understand, when it comes to salvation, as evangelists, we save nobody. But we give our faith, we preach with everything we have, we pray, we see God do works. But when it comes to salvation, there's a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And that we have to honor. That we have to give way to. And that's how I was saved. That's how you were saved. And you love Him. You love Jesus. And there's some things that we don't understand. You're not going to understand until you get to heaven. And then He'll sit down and explain it to you. But until then, God's not willing that any perish. You give everything that you can and let the Holy Spirit be sovereign. Amen. And so many were added to the Lord. And I want you to look at this. Gentiles. The Gentiles were listening to the gospel. And Jesus knew this. He said, there's a whole nother group of sheep I got to get. And why? He knew that when they hear the gospel of who He is, oh, they're going to want Him. They're going to want to know Jesus. I told a guy in London once, I said, listen, when you meet Jesus, you're going to love Him because there's nobody like Him. It kind of got his attention. He said he was an atheist. You know, he's smoking a cigarette. And I just finished with these words. When you meet Him, you're going to love Him. And that's the truth. Let's go to number 20. Great multitude of Jews and Greeks. It came to pass in Iconium, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So we're seeing Jews and Greeks. It didn't matter. It was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But guess what? In this harvest, I just love it. You see, Jews and Greeks, they both realize we have sin and we need to repent and believe upon Yeshua. And they both were coming in. Now, you know that made the Jewish religious leaders angry to see Jews receiving Christ and then Gentiles doing the same thing. You know why? Salvation is by the faith of Abraham. It's not by the law of Moses. It's by faith. And that's why when Abraham followed God, it says what? Righteousness was imputed. It was given to him because of faith. God did that. Abraham never knew about the law of Moses, did he? Moses wasn't born yet. But you know what? He believed God. And so God set that as the principle of salvation so that when the Messiah came, when Jesus came, both Jew and Gentile, by faith, like Abraham, could receive what? This righteousness of God by faith. And I tell you, that's what Paul wrote about. Increased in number daily. Don't you love that? Acts 16 and verse 5. It says this, and so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now, when a church is established in faith, it's healthy. Just think about that. If the Spirit is not the spirit of faith over the church, it won't be healthy. It won't have that strength to reach out. They were established. That means there was a firm foundation of this faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we're studying the book of Acts. All of these different chapters help build that foundation in you so that you and I can become more like what these guys were. They were established in the faith and they increased. When there's an establishment, there can be increase. Think about that. Now let's go to number 22, Acts 16, verse 15. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who she worshiped God, and she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me faithful in the Lord, come to my house and abide there. Now, reference 1 Corinthians 14:24. Prophecy has the ability to bring a conviction upon those who are unlearned or unbelieving. Though the purpose of prophecy is to exhort, edify, and comfort the church, that's 1 Corinthians 14:3, it also has another very powerful component in that it affects every listener because they're hearing the voice of the Lord in the realm of the Spirit. Prophecy is important. It opens the heart. And here's this lady. She's listening to these guys, and I have to believe that somehow that spirit of prophecy came and opened up her heart. And when her heart was open, she believed, and she gave her life to Christ. We're seeing an individual salvation, but this was a key salvation because she became the initial place of that church in Philippi. Is prophecy, New Testament prophecy, which is edification, comfort, and exhortation, how important is it? Well, in this case, it was hugely important. Everything that God has given the church is important, whether it's signs and wonders, the power of God, whether it's these graces that come from prophecy, people's hearts being opened. These are so important to the church. We need to take time and we need to allow the Lord to build these things into us, not just go through church Christianity. You know, we go to church on Sunday morning. And I really believe in the time that we live in the West, primarily in the West, you're finding that a lot of people were performing Christianity as a Sunday morning event, but they weren't being discipled. They weren't changing. They weren't following the Word of God, reading the Word of God in prayer. They saw their religious requirements were Sunday morning. Well, that's all being shaken. And you know what? The Lord's not troubled by it. He said what he said. He said everything that's going to be shaken is going to be shaken. And that's what's happening. Now let's go back to this though. So this lady, her heart is open and she turns to the Lord. Prophecy is important. Let's go to number 23, the keeper of the jail and his household. So this is another household. So Lydia and her household turned to the Lord. Now we're having the keeper of the jail. And verse 31, Acts 16, 31, they believed. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. Isn't that amazing? That somehow the Spirit of God moved Paul to say, you shall be saved and your house. I think God was already showing something to Paul about that family. That somehow God just didn't want, that God just didn't want that jailer to be saved. He wanted that whole house saved. That's the will of the Lord. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his household. And when he brought them into the house, he set food before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Don't you love that? Ah, it's amazing. Now, let's talk about this. Because God delivers a little slave girl. And I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Those economic princes who were controlling that young girl who had a tormenting spirit in her. And all of a sudden, they're out of a job. They're out of business. They're not making money from her anymore. They grab hold of Paul and Silas. They beat them. And then they throw them into jail. And they don't just go into a cell. They go into the darkest, deepest part of that jail. And before the door is slammed on them, shackles are put on them. So they are chained in the deepest part of the jail. Now, as they're worshiping and singing to the Lord, the power of God falls. It's the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a power gift. It is God's power, but Paul and Silas weren't doing anything. They were in a receiving mode. They were receiving the power of God coming down on their behalf, giving them what? Not just protection, but now delivering power. It shakes the earth. I don't know if the whole world was shaken. It doesn't tell me how far this earthquake was. But you know what? All of the jail cells opened up. Now, this is at midnight. They all open up. Chains all fall off. But nobody moves. So this jailer and his household, their salvation is impacted by a gift of faith coming into operation, by the power of God coming down upon that place. It doesn't stop there. When that jailer realizes what's happening, there in the darkness of that jail, they didn't have lights and electricity. Always remember that. Paul and Silas are in the deepest part of the jail. All of a sudden, as the power of God falls, a word of knowledge comes upon Paul, and he cries out to the jailer, "Put that sword down. Don't harm yourself. We're all here." How did Paul know that? He didn't know it in the natural. He knew it by a gift of the Spirit called the word of knowledge. Remember, he's in the deepest part of the jail. It's dark. And the God shows him, "Speak to the jailer right now." Two gifts of the Holy Spirit come into operation to turn that situation around, and what? For the salvation of the jailer and his family. I love it. They go upstairs to the house. The jailer washes all the bruises and the cuts. Remember, they hadn't been washed. They were there. They were drying. He was bruised. They were hurting. And now the jailer's caring for him. And when the jailer's done caring for them, those apostles took the jailer and their family and led them to Christ and baptized them right there. Ah, don't you love harvest? Don't you love it? This is what we're a part of. That's why we're studying this. I want this inside of you. I want it inside of me. I want an increased capacity that to begin to say, "Oh God, okay, God, when I walk out into this crowd, could this be a day when there's a major crowd coming to Christ, a multitude? You better get ready for it, because this is the day where this is going to happen. Right now, things are being shaken. It looks like the end of the world." Well, we're not that close yet. I think we're really close. But you know what? I want to see these kind of harvests in the days that we live in. Don't you? Let's believe for them. Now, number 24. Acts 17:4, some Jews, not a lot, some. Now, this is the first time we kind of see a limit, because up to now it's been great, it's been many, okay? But now it's just some. Interesting. And to Acts 17:4, some of them believed. Though there there are no demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit in this harvest, we do see that the power in preaching Christ as resurrected Lord. So we're seeing as they're preaching, it's having an effect. Remember, people get saved by what? The preaching of the gospel. It seems that Paul preached from the prophets who through the word of wisdom, speaking into future events, right? Spoke of Christ's sufferings. And that's what, when you study Paul, he didn't have a Bible to preach from. He was preaching a lot of times out of the Psalms. So he was taking messages that had come by the word of wisdom, prophetic insight, where people like Isaiah or David were seeing into the future and they were speaking about Christ. Paul took these scriptures and he begins to preach them. And guess what? They preach really good. They come with power. They come with glory. And you know what? In this case, some Jews, they're like, we're going to turn to the Lord. And it's a harvest. So wonderful. You know, some Jews, better than no Jews. And so that's just amazing. Number 25, a great multitude of Greeks. Acts 17:4, same scripture, but we're going to look at part B. Some believed, meaning Jews, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. The result of his preaching was a great multitude of Greeks believed, in contrast to what we just studied, what? Some Jews. So in this scripture, through the preaching of the gospel, some Jews believed, but there was another harvest. A great number of Gentiles came into Christ. So we're going to pause and we're going to pick up in part four. We're going to finish these off. But like I said, harvest is in you and God wants to increase your spirit and he wants you to look at these things and realize all of this is a part of you. It's part of the word of God. It belongs in you and me. God's preparing us for a major, mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. Get more training. Learn how to speak to lost people. And go through this book of Acts. And we love you so much. We're praying for you. And we believe that your greatest days are ahead of you. God bless you. Bye-bye.